We are just absolutely delighted to be here. And Brother Jerry asked me to do the Sunday school. And this is something that I usually do with a bunch of kids. But I think parents and grandparents need to hear this as well. Teach your children to obey the fourth time they're told. The third? You mean the second? How about the first? Teaching your children to obey the first time they're told to do something. Now, that's the way I grew up down in Kentucky. My daddy never did tell us twice to do anything. And he was a little rough, a little gruff. But I learned some things from that I've tried to adapt in my ministry. And I think God has used it in a tremendous way. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, I'm sure this is familiar territory for all of you. You do have one of the best preachers in the nation right here. You do know that, don't you, Brother Jerry Ross? And I've admired him for many, many years, going back to his father. I just saw the sign, 1973. We started Bakey Road Baptist Church in 1972, and Bob Ross and I became very good friends. And I tell you what, I still admire his ministry and what he accomplished. And one of the best things he did was to raise a son like Brother Jerry and the other members of the family as well. But in Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting with verse 18, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou arisest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray that you would bless this message here. And Lord, I'm sure that maybe there's someone here today that needs to hear what we're going to say. I pray so, Lord, I pray to be a help and a blessing to these people here today. What a wonderful opportunity we have to come together. You know, it's the parents' responsibility to teach their children. Now, my thinking is that we teach them to obey before they get into trouble. You're teaching them to obey on a daily basis. When you get up in the morning, when you walk by the way, when you lie down at night, when you write it on the post of your house, wherever you might write it. And, you teach them to obey before they get into trouble. Now, here's the thing that applies. You know, if you teach your children to obey the first time, it saves you untold heartache. It also saves the children untold heartache. So everybody benefits. And by the way, when children begin to learn to obey the first time, they get in on the act too. They find out that that's very good for them as well. And so it's very important that they obey. Every day, all day long, sitting in your house, walking by the way, lying down at night when you arise, write down the rules. Somebody said we had a drug problem in our home. We were drugged to church every time the church doors were open. And I'm sure you've heard that before. Nancy Reagan came up with the slogan of Just Say No. She had a son, Ronnie and Angela Davis. And you know what their theme was? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So, we don't have a drug problem in America. Matter of fact, I was going up north one time. We stopped in Terre Haute, and a, shopping center so my wife could shop. That's the way it always is, isn't it? So I could find a place to sit down. But as we went in, there was the sheriff's department, the police department, the fire department, the drug enforcement. Every department had a table set up, and they were trying to help people and teach them. And I walked over to one of the policemen where the drug table was, and I said, you know what? I said, I don't think we have a drug problem in America. He said, oh, I'd like to find out more about that. He had one on the hook, you know. And I said, well, I said, I don't think we've got a drug problem. I said, I think we've got a sign problem. I said, there used to be a time when people smoked in every restaurant in the country. You go into any restaurant and there'd be people that smoke. You know what they did? They put up a sign. Have you ever noticed? Nobody smokes in restaurants anymore. And so there are no signs in the White House that says no drugs. Matter of fact, I heard Willie Nelson myself brag on the fact that he stood on the roof of the White House with Secret Service agents smoking pot. So they don't have a sign at the White House. They don't have a sign at the governor's mansion. They don't have a sign in Congress. They don't have a sign in police departments. All they have to do is put up a sign. Now, I'm being hypothetical, okay, and I know that, and I realize that. I realize there's more to it than that. But I'm saying that if they wanted to, they could take care of the drug problem in America. And, we need to teach our children, and this is something that comes from home. You need to teach your children to obey the first time. Now, there are three stages to discipline. Most parents never get past stage two. They don't get to the third stage. The first stage of discipline is anger. The child gets angry. Why are you doing this? The third stage is sympathy. They start to cry, and they cry, and they cry, and they cry. Did your daddy ever say to you, dry it up? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Dry it up right now. I'm trying, because, that crying is okay to start with, but that crying feeds out into sympathy. And the child is, you hurt your little child. Well, it hurts you worse than it did them. You've all said that, haven't you? This hurts me worse than it does you. Or have you heard that before? But then the third part of that discipline is the broken will. And, of course, that's what God is looking for in each one of us, is the broken will. It's important that we learn to obey the first time. Now, what is your name?
Gage.
Gage? Gage, I want you to do something for me. I want you to come up here, and I want you to sit right there. Now, did you notice? He obeyed the first time. Isn't that amazing? Now, he's not in trouble. Brother Jerry made a promise that he wouldn't be in trouble. So he's not in trouble. But did you notice he obeyed the first time? Now, when they obey the first time, what do? You brag on them. You encourage them. You build them up. I didn't want you sitting there. I want you to go up here and sit. I want you to come up here and sit. Isn't that amazing? They both obeyed the first time, and neither one of them is in trouble. You could save yourself a lot of heartache and a lot of trials and a lot of problems by teaching them to obey before they get into trouble. And then when they do right, brag on them, encourage them, hold them up. Okay, you can go back down and sit by Brother Jerry. All right, thank you, fellas. I appreciate that. If you want to, you can let them go to class now if they want to. But anyway, I just wanted to do a little illustration there. Parents need to teach their children. I was the special ed driver for a school bus many years ago. And on this special ed bus, there were several different kinds of children. Some were handicapped. Some were just slow learners. Some were just sort of troublemakers. And there was a kid on the bus, and he wasn't acting right because he was a little bit better than the other kids. I mean, he wasn't handicapped. And he wasn't slow, he was just a troublemaker. And one day he got upset because he's having to ride that special ed bus. And he said, "Well, at least I'm not retarded." I said, "Of course you are." I said, "Everybody is retarded." Boy, am I looking at a bunch of retarded people. My goodness, you look awful. Let me ask you a question. Anybody here 100%? Anybody? Not hardly. The first thing you did was told a lie. But anyway, but nobody is 100%. I mean, we've all got faults and failures. So therefore, we are all retarded to some degree or another. And, we had another kid on the bus that the aide just couldn't do anything with. He was the last stop on my bus every day, and we had an aide on the bus that watched after the kids, and she couldn't do anything with this child. When the last kid got off before his stop, he would run up and down the aisle of the bus. He'd put his hands on the seats and put his feet up on the ceiling, and she just couldn't do anything with him. So one day, I pulled over, I believe it was a store parking lot, I pulled over in that parking lot, and he run to the back of the bus. I went back to the back of the bus, and I got him by the hand and drug him down the aisle. And dragging him down the aisle, I got kicked, I got hit, I got bit. I got the worst end of the deal. And I said, "Now you sit down and sit there." And I got back and started driving the bus, and he was right back up doing the same thing again. Well, the next day, the same thing happened. So I pulled over in the same place, stopped the bus. He run to the back of the bus. He was getting ready to kick and bite and pinch and scratch and whatever he could do. But his hair was sort of yay long. And I went to the back of the bus. I didn't get him by the hand. I reached over and I grabbed him by the back of the hair of the head, and I drug him down that aisle. No policemen in here, are there? I think the statutes of limitations are out on this, because I would go to jail for this today. But I drug him down that aisle, and by the time I got to the seat and set him down, there were tears running down his cheeks, and he sat there. Well, about a month or two later, I was in a grocery store, and all the way to the other side of the store, there was that kid, and he saw me, and he came running. He ran up to me and hugged me. That tells me that that kid was looking for some discipline in his life that he was not getting at home. Another, I had some experiences on that bus. You don't have any on your buses, do you? But there was another kid on a bus, and we went to Glenwood School, and I pulled in there, and they had started riding on the bus. And the bus was just going back and forth like this. And I got up in the face of this one leader, and I tried to make him sit down. And instead, he took his fist and reached over and hit me. And about that time, the principal showed up. And I told her what had happened. She said, "Well, I've been hoping something like that would happen." She said, "We've been having trouble." She said, "If I file charges, will you testify?" I said, "I'd be glad to." So we went to court. In court, the lawyer, one of the most prominent lawyers in Evansville, I found out later, he was questioning me. He said, "Well, what did he do?" I said, "Well," I said, "he hit me." He said, "Well, what did he have on?" I said, "He didn't have anything on." He said, "You mean he was nude?" I said, "He didn't have anything on his hands." I said, "That's a stupid question." You know what the judge said? The judge says, "I agree, that's a stupid question." And so, you know, we are living in a day when children are not being disciplined. And I know that's not true here. I know everybody here disciplines your children exactly the right way. I understand that. But we're living in a disobedient society. And what I'd like to see in our church are children who obey the first time. By the way, it's a principle that works. Now, back in my day, Kids did that. That's the way parents were. I mean, you were expected to obey the first time. And so that becomes very, very important. My mother, bless her heart, had a sixth grade education. She wasn't very smart, but she had a lot of common sense. You had to have common sense in order to get by back in the day. You know what I mean? Common sense, horse sense, stable thinking. And you know what she'd make me do? There's a woods by our house about, maybe 50, 75 feet away from our house. She would make me go down to the edge of the woods and break my own switch. Can you imagine that? Anybody else have that to happen? Oh, you did too. Some more like that, okay? She would make me go and break my own switch. And she would instruct me, you better get a good one too, because if you don't, I'll go get one. And that sounded like it was going to really be rough. So I had to go get a good one. So I'd go down to the edge of the woods and I'd get me a good switch. Bring it back. And she'd swap me a time or two. She never did really whip us that much. But you know what she did? She accomplished 95% of what she wanted by the time I got down to the edge of the woods, broke my switch, and got back to her. Wouldn't it be great if we could just have some common sense back in our country? You know, the Bible says that to obey is better than to sacrifice. Would you agree with that? And so, by the way, I'm sure we got a lot of grandparents here today. You support your children in discipline their children. You back them up. And you don't divide. Another thing you do is you don't divide mom against dad. Because the children are very, very smart. Matter of fact, they're smarter than you are. And they know how to work mom against dad and dad against mom. So what it is that, you know, mom agrees with dad whether she agrees with him or not. Dad agrees with mom whether she agrees with him or not. It's very important that we learn to do that which is right. I know there was a time when the kids were in a Christian school and my son Tim, you all know Tim, he's called to preach right here, I believe he was. And pastors in Owensboro, Kentucky, Greater Vision Baptist Church, doing a great job. One of the best preachers I've ever heard. And I'm not prejudiced at all. But anyway, one day he was studying something. I don't know what it was, geometry or algebra or something. I passed algebra with a C and never worked a problem in my life. That's the kind of school I went to. But he was studying. He said, I don't know what we have to get to this old stuff. We're never going to use it. And in my brilliance, and I don't know where this came from, Brother Jerry, in my brilliance, I said, son, I said, everything that can be learned should be learned. And everything that we fail to learn just shows our ignorance. And that stuck with me. Matter of fact, I wrote a little thing about it. But you know, that's the way it is. How many people here know how to fly an airplane? You're a bunch of dummies. You don't know how to fly an airplane? Well, I don't either. But I probably could have. How many doctors we have? Any doctors? Bunch of dummies. How many lawyers we have? Well, I don't fly an airplane. I'm not a doctor and I'm not a lawyer. So I'm right in there with you. You know, we choose ignorance. There was a time that God winked at ignorance. But you know, we need to learn some things and we need to know some things because we need to pass them on to our children. It's very, very important. If you don't obey your parents, you're not going to obey any other authority either. You're not going to obey the police. You're not going to obey anybody. And that's very prominent in our world today. Amen. Here's something that you may not have thought about, but Job was not a good father. Don't jump on me too quick, okay? Job had 10 grown children, did he not? They all lived in their own separate houses. He had 10 separate children, all grown. And they threw a party just about every day. And the girls would come to the party. And boy, was it a party. Matter of fact, I think Job kept eyeing that and thinking, boy, I hope they're not doing something wrong. And he would offer sacrifices for his kids because he wanted his kids to be right. But Job didn't have good kids. Matter of fact, Job, in my opinion, messed up really, really bad. You know, Job, he was confronted by all of his friends. Then after all of this, we see that God got on his case. Isn't that amazing? In Job chapter 38 to 42, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Job. Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" In other words, Job, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, he was the best man on the face of the earth. No question about it. He said, "Now gird up thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line thereupon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Job, where were you? What color is Mars? Red. What color is the earth? Blue. Matter of fact, if you look at all the stars and all the planets, you'll notice that there's every color that can be imagined in all the planets. Did you know that color is sound? And did you know that God has his own little music box playing for him out there? Isn't that amazing? But here, after Job has gone through untold heartache, then he had to stand before God. And God said, "Job, you just don't know very much of anything, do you?" And you know, after we've learned everything we can learn, we find out that we're some of the dumbest people on the face of the earth, aren't we? What I have noticed down through the years is that the smartest people become the dumbest people. Are the people in Washington, D.C. smart? You better believe they are. They're smart enough to know just exactly what they want, and they do everything they can to get what they want. They're very smart people. You say, "Oh, there's a bunch of dummies up there." No, they're not dumb. They're smart. But they end up being some of the dumbest people on the face of the earth. I've known a few geniuses in my life, and every genius I've ever known had a stupid streak about so wide. It's amazing, isn't it? But anyway, Job, he wasn't a very smart man. But, you know, some amazing things happened to Job. And then after that, we see that God made his three friends apologize to him. And then we see that God blessed Job again. He gave him 10 more children. By the way, he became one of the best fathers that you've ever seen. Matter of fact, you'll find out that Job not only had 10 children, he had grandchildren, he had great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and his daughters were the fairest in the land. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing, isn't it? Aren't you glad that God is a God of second chances? Aren't you glad that God watches over us? And, you know, I'm glad that God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances because, you know, as human beings, we mess up all the time, don't we? We mess up and we mess up. Though a just man falleth 7 times, yet he riseth up again, you know. And you'd think, well, my goodness, why do I have to go through all of this? But you know, I hope that this is a help to you and a blessing to you today, because we need to get back to teaching our children. And by the way, it's not going to happen in our schools, in the public schools. It's not going to happen in our world. It's not going to happen in our society. If it's going to happen at all, it's going to happen here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and Bakey Road Baptist Church and churches all over the country. We need to get back to some old-fashioned ideas, don't we? Wouldn't it be something to go back to the old ways and have some of the old-fashioned ideas to come back to our country? God has blessed America like no other place on the face of the earth. And just like in the book of Judges, we see that America has taken that and thrown it back in his face. God help us to be what we ought to be.